One of the key technological questions in this century of hyperconnectedness is, who do you call in an emergency? How do you call them? For some people, texting has become their sole means of electronic communication. And during the recent Orlando shooting, some people who were held hostage in the club were afraid that calling 911 would draw the attention of the attacker. But there was no text option in Orlando. Like the vast majority of U.S. cities, Orlando does not have 911 texting. So hostages were forced to text loved ones, asking them to call 911 on their behalf. Only a tenth of the nation's 6,000 911 dispatch centers can accept text messages of any kind. Another 150 dispatch centers are upgrading, but that could flood the system with more false or misleading reporting and other problems. Joseph Giacalone is a professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice and a retired New York City police sergeant. Joseph, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great. And how much of an upgrade do you think the 911 system needs based on all the different ways you could reach out in an emergency?
Well, I mean, I think it needs a big overhaul. The infrastructure here, especially like in New York City, is rather old, and this text messages has come into play in different forms and varieties. We need to have a new infrastructure put in, so it could be rather expensive to do so.
And when we're talking about the Orlando shooting, when there were so many texts of people desperately trying to get messages out, there was no place necessarily for those messages to go. But there's also the issue of flooding an emergency notification center with the messages that confuse first responders.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the things that they have to put into the infrastructure when they're building this out. And just like our highways, right, when the, you know, three lanes in the LIE, if they would have only had a little foresight, they would have been able to build five, six lanes. So this is what they need to do now so that they can avoid that problem in the future.
What is this going to take nationally?
Well, it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take the federal government to have to get involved in this in order to provide grants for departments, especially smaller ones. Because if you're waiting for police departments to spend the money on this, we're in big trouble because they don't have any money. And, you know, the jurisdictions are going to have to come up with it. And it's as simple as that. And we'll probably end up paying another tax for it, you know, a 911 tax on your cell phone or what have you. But you know what? In the long run, it'll be worth it.
And who's responsible for setting up 911 systems in various jurisdictions?
Well, and that's it. Every jurisdiction, there's over 18,000 different police departments in this country. Each one has its own budget. So we're going to have to figure out who is going to be paying for this. And it's usually the local government that's involved in this. And that's the problem, because we know after a financial crisis in 2007, there's not a lot of money to be thrown around for different kinds of projects.
So a call to a police officer for a crime and a call for, you know, emergency, my baby fell into the water or something like that, they go to the same place?
Yes, and this is, you know, you're going to have to hire new people in order to take text messages, and you're going to have the people to answer telephones because you can't have somebody do both. So this is another expense that police departments are going to have to, you know, put into play. Like I said, it's a good thing, but, you know, we have to think it well through.
It sounds like a big design issue in the sense that you're going to want to, you know which place to go to first. Is there any indication from the Orlando shooting that messengers from using their cell phones and texting were able to get information more quickly than people dialing 911 or other methods?
No, there isn't any, you know, evidence of that just yet. You know, the investigation isn't even over yet. But I think police departments were relying on social media to be like the panacea for this. Like you could send things through Twitter, but then they have Twitter accounts that aren't manned 24 hours a day. So it's something that, you know, we have to start looking at this as a real problem solver.
What motivated the 911 system to begin with?
Well, like everything else, as the telephone and everything was created during the, you know, the times. I mean, this is a way to communicate with the police department. I mean, when you think about it, 50 years ago, even New York City police officers didn't even have radios in the, you know, on their person. They might have had one in the car if they were lucky, or they had to go to a call box. So as technology has changed, and now text messaging and social media, so will the way we contact law enforcement. It just takes a little time because of the fact that, the you know, a lot of money is involved in order to upgrade this stuff.
What's the fastest way to get the information from a complicated crime scene to a first responder? Is it voice? Is it text? What do you think?
Well, I would prefer the voice because of the fact that as a former investigator, I can ask certain questions that the caller might not really have deemed important at the time. So from a law enforcement perspective, we'd like to talk to you. But we understand that there's a need for a text messages in a critical situation like an active shooter, though. So these are the things that have to be worked out.
Joe Giacalone is a criminal justice professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice and a retired police sergeant. He spoke to us from Long Island. Thanks so much, Joe.
Take care, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.